Today on Seculo, how can the Biden administration claim, quote, no crisis at the border when we now have footage of toddlers, a 3- and 5-year-old, being tossed by the coyotes over a 14-foot-tall border wall? We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So we've got from Fox News a new report that how migrants are streaming through gaps in the border wall following President Biden's order to stop construction. So it was a halt construction order. By the way, your taxpayer dollars still being spent paying the contractors because he hasn't canceled the contracts yet. And of course, paid any of the penalties for that. It's just been a work stop order. There's the money left to build and finish the 200 additional miles of wall. The money is there. But Joe Biden has issued that stop work order. So what has happened? Well, to quote one of the agents, border agents, quote, it's insane, said the agent after attending to a group of 13 Brazilian migrants. So think about how far these folks are coming from. I mean, this is not just Central America. Now we're into South America. Were apprehended Tuesday nearing a 100-foot gap in the fence in Southern California and the border with Mexico. The project is 3/4 done, and they said they should at least be allowed to tie together the primary fence. Otherwise, we're trying to catch these people in the worst possible place. When Biden issued his stop work order, he gave the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas 60 days to report back to either continue, modify, or terminate. So far, Mayorkas is already a week past his deadline, and we don't have any word yet from the Biden administration. How bad is this, by the way, this crisis that, by the way, Vice President Harris, you know, she's the lead diplomat now on this. I think she spoke to the, Ecuadorian president about it, but you've got two kids from Ecuador, ages 3 and 5. For those of you who watch on Facebook and Periscope, YouTube, share this broadcast with your friends and family. We're going to show the footage from you in the next segment of the broadcast. And for those listening, I'll explain if you haven't seen this footage yet. So for the vast majority of our audience listening to the radio broadcast, but this is a 3-year-old girl and 5-year-old girl, both sisters. The coyotes, the smugglers, climb up to the top of the wall on the side, Mexico side, and literally toss the 3-year-old and toss the 5-year-old over a 14-foot drop. They're both okay, thank God, and they were both rescued by our U.S. Border Patrol. But where are they going? Where are their parents? Where are their families? Who sent them? I mean, and how are they supposed to communicate that? I mean, do they have some card on them? And how do you trust that they're not just going to be abused in some kind of trafficking ring, that who they're being sent to is even the right people? So I want to, again, explain to you, and I think we're showing this to our Facebook and YouTube audience now, and Periscope audience, this horrific footage of these girls being, I have a 4-year-old daughter. I can't imagine her being dropped, 14 feet into the middle of a desert and paying for someone to do that. What's going on in Ecuador, but also, what are these smugglers promising? And hopefully people in these countries are seeing this imagery to realize what their kids are at, how their kids are actually going to be treated until the U.S. hopefully rescues them before something else happens to them. I mean, it just so happened they were on camera. So how many times has this happened where it hasn't been on camera and bad things happen? These are the most vulnerable. You're talking about 3- and 5-year-olds. They can't even fully communicate anything about where they came from necessarily, or where they're supposed to go, whether they have a card on them, and we're supposed to trust that information. Just think about it. Again, take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into this uproar over Georgia's new laws on voting. You'll be surprised to learn what state has more restrictive laws. It's not a red state. We get back, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, your comments on Facebook and YouTube, and a huge thank you to everyone who participated in our March Matching Challenge. It was an incredible month for the ACLJ. Thank you to all of you who donated and took part in that matching challenge. Thank you. We'll be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
No, it's not a crisis. It's just, you know, toddlers being tossed over a 14-foot fence by these coyote smugglers. And three- and five-year-old girls, break your heart to see the video. We could play it again for our Facebook and YouTube audience, and I'll walk people through what they're seeing for our radio audience. So you see, this is the Border Patrol camera. You see the first child drop 14 feet, that wall is. You see the second child drop. That's a three- and a five-year-old. Three- and five-year-old girls, sisters, some bag gets tossed over, some kind of something. Maybe it has, hopefully it has some kind of actual ID. But again, these kids are vulnerable the entire time they're being smuggled. And then, of course, when they are dropped over the border like that, that is a crisis. When you have 18,000 plus, that's the current number, 18,000 plus children in custody, that's a crisis. When they are expecting over a million illegal apprehensions, legal border crossings and apprehensions to occur this year, that is a crisis. And yet, what is the new border czar doing? Well, Vice President Harris talked to the Guatemalan president, because she's just a diplomatic role now. That's what we're hearing here. She's the diplomat in this situation. She's not actually going to the border to see things, and the president's not going to the border to see things. And we're really getting this footage because of Border Patrol putting it out, because these are cameras I think anyone can access, and also members of Congress who are going and saying, both on both sides of the aisle, who are saying this is horrendous what's happening.
This is a horrendous situation, and Vice President Harris is missing in action. In addition to spending time on the phone with a Guatemalan president, while the crisis rages because of a surge of illegals on our border, Vice President Harris is also spending time preparing for a women's and girls empowerment forum with former President Clinton. Imagine that. President Clinton as the icon for women's empowerment. And one wonders whether or not she will get around to discuss whether or not he succeeded in his empowerment with respect to interns in his office. But it's very, very important to know this, that the policy reversals of the Biden administration, their inability to calculate the consequences of the policy reversals of the Trump administration that were working, it simply represents one thing by the Biden administration, a capitulation to irrationality. because you open the border, you welcome people in, and then you blame President Trump, and then you do nothing while facilities in the United States are holding children at over 700% of their capacity. This makes no sense unless you are committed at the end of the day to inhumanity on steroids.
I mean, you're talking about, 3 and 5-year-old girls. This is the quoting the El Paso sector chief of patrol agent Gloria Chavez. She said, quote, "I'm appalled by the way these smugglers viciously dropped innocent children from a 14-foot border barrier last night." She said if they had not been seen by the cameras, the girls could have been left in the desert for hours. I mean, Andy, this is a serious issue for the United States. It's a crisis, certainly at the border. And yet, I want you to respond to this is how AOC, because people are wondering, is she going to come out with the kind of criticism of the far left and criticize Biden? No. She's going to criticize anyone who calls it a crisis, or she didn't like what you said, Harry, with using the word surge. Take a listen.
They want to say, what about the surge? Well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. And that's a problem because this is not a surge. These are children and they are not insurgents. And we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy.
A lot of jumps there.
Yeah.
I don't see surge. I don't even think insurgency. I think that is two different things. A surge is just an increase, a rapid increase in numbers. It could be a surge in the stock market. That's a positive thing. It could be a surge in your bank account. You like that, right? So, I mean, that's not an insurgency. But then it somehow becomes, it's a surge is now racist to use and white supremacist. And I've not heard anybody talking about these 3 and 5-year-olds aren't invading us. It is they're being abused. And we're dealing with a crisis, not an invasion.
That's right, Jordan. The idea that Sandy Cortez is trying to put in our minds that a surge is somehow akin to a militaristic invasion, when in fact it is a surge. It's like a surge of a tide of illegal immigrants being smuggled across the borders by the coyotes, thrown over the fences. You like to use the word tossed. I want to use the word thrown over the fence, dropped in the fence in the desert. And you say, if I say that that is a surge, because there are thousands and thousands coming in through the gaps in the wall that are left, that I am somehow now using a militaristic term that is akin to white supremacy. How absurd is that? How ridiculous is that? Making the statement that I'm a white supremacist, or that I'm a supremacist, or that I'm a racist, because I acknowledge the way things are. The reality of the situation is, as one person who said, who's on the Border Patrol said, cartels run our borders. No country should permit a cartel to operate and function and run its borders, and that's what we're doing in the United States now. And for Sandy Cortez, that immature fool who is represented by that population in New York who elected her to Congress, to make a statement that it's a militaristic term and we got a gut check, as she says on that, is absurd as she is being in Congress.
Yeah, I mean, as our producer Will said, surge protectors. Can't use those anymore because you're a white supremacist if you do. But take a listen. This is Sheriff Joe Martinez of Verde County, Texas. I just want you to play what law enforcement is dealing with here.
We're basically on our own. Just the other day, 75% of my workforce for that shift was occupied assisting Border Patrol. So, you know, when I have 4 deputies working and 3 of them are tied up for the majority part of the day, you know, that just, we can't serve our citizens in our community the way we need to be serving them.
So there you go. I mean, and this is how this effect on small towns is huge, because they don't have the resources to have 3 of their 4 sheriff's deputies assisting Border Patrol and not assisting their own community and their own town. Let's go to Donna in New Jersey. On line one. Hey, Donna, if you want to talk to us on air too, it's 1-800-684-3110. I'm just sick and tired. Are you sick and tired, folks, of them saying this is not a crisis? Because after I see a 3-year-old and 5-year-old girl being tossed over or thrown over a 14-foot-tall fence by these human smugglers, which are really human traffickers, It is so appalling that this is happening, and they won't use the word crisis to describe. It's certainly a crisis for that 3-year-old and 5-year-old girl. I mean, where are they going? How are they going to find families? But if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Donna, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Donna. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm absolutely sick over this. I heard that they're putting children in facilities meant for 50. They have 250 children in there. We knew this was going to happen the minute Biden got in. They're ignoring it. Nobody's doing anything about it. Everybody had so much to say when the election was going on, how horrible Trump was. But he's the only person who did what he said he was going to do. And I don't know how you fix this mess.
Well, you know how you fix the mess? You finish the wall that needs to be built. You increase Border Patrol. You reinstitute you stop the catch and release program, and you reinstitute the catch and send back program. And make or the say, then wait. You have to wait in Mexico if you're going to make an asylum claim. But you are dealing with, again, this is a serious crisis, and Jen Psaki said over and over, there's no plans yet for Vice President Harris to go to the border. There's no plans for the president, President Biden, to go to the border. President Trump, by the way, former President Trump, he is planning on going to the border to try and encourage those Border Patrol officers and agents. But I just think, again, this boils down to this. The left, the Biden team, I've said it time and time again, they love war. They love conflict. Helps their Washington businesses out. Okay, they don't see the human side. They don't care about the human side of this either. It's just the political side. So the 3- and 5-year-old, yeah, they may try and use it politically too. But it's their fault that's happening. They are responsible for a family thinking it's a good idea to pay those smugglers to send those kids over and have them tossed over like that. Because maybe they'll get picked up. And luckily in this situation that's on camera, they were, because it was on camera. But at what point is the left, I mean, do they care at all about people? The liberals in America care at all about human beings. Do they care about the genocide in China? No. Do they care about what's happening to these migrant children? No. It's a narrative. It's all politics. AOC, even the far left, they're not criticizing Joe Biden. They're not criticizing Harris and the do-nothing Democrat Party right now on this issue. But they're letting people suffer all over the world. And I'm sure they're looking for their next war. Typical of what we have elected into this country. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to start taking more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Share this broadcast with your friends and family. And let me encourage you, too, we're going to get to some of the Georgia, this outrage over Georgia's voting laws, because you will be surprised. You don't want to miss the second half hour, because of a state that has more restrictive voting laws is not a red state. It's one of the more blue of blue states, and it's also the state that our current president hails from. So that might give it away to some of you, but we'll get into that in the second half hour of a Seculo. I want to spend more time on this, and I think that this caller kind of sums it up perfectly. Elaine in Florida on line three. Hey, Elaine, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. This whole border thing's got me insane. So, legal questions. When Biden was sworn in, he took an oath to protect our borders. He's not doing that. And then secondly, if this was a daycare center or something like that, I mean, health and services would be in and shut them down.
Oh yeah, of course. No, this would never be the way that they are having to house these because of the surge. I don't feel like it's a white supremacist term to use, the surge that was created by policy. And actually words, Joe Biden welcoming in these migrants and announcing the catch and release policy, that you'll basically make it, you'll get dropped off in a town somewhere in the U.S. and get some court date down the road that you won't show up at, and you'll be added to those who have to live in the shadows in America, who have to live with fake Social Security numbers, who then grow up here not having citizenship, not knowing what to do, and you increase the number of those children that, like the DACA children, all of that, who don't really remember where they came from. You think the 3- and 5-year-old girl not really going to remember that if they stay in the United States, but they didn't get here legally. Are they ever going to get legal paperwork? I mean, the problems could persist. They are building more cages as we speak, but the media, they don't want to call it cages anymore. Now it's just, they're overcrowded and they're just trying to deal with it in a humanitarian way. There's nothing humanitarian about this. When you allow this to happen, more people get sick, more kids will die, and more will be abused by human traffickers, sex traffickers, and drug cartels.
You are precisely right, Jordan. But Democrats care less about the Constitution. They care less about the rule of law. They care less about humanitarian and international rights. They care less about, for instance, the oath of office, unless they can use that oath of office to attain power. Imagine we live in a country today where our sovereignty is being violated, where the Biden administration is violating the law, the immigration law, and he is not protecting the United States border. And yet it was the same Democratic Party that impeached the former president of the United States for a phone call. A phone call that led to an impeachment effort. So here we have Joe Biden, who is not doing his duty, and yet there is simply no appetite among Democrats, for instance, to really go after him and to demand accountability. Instead, Democrats have doubled down. They're demanding reparations for illegals. Why not take care of average working men and women in the United States? Why not advance their cause rather than the interest of China and drug smugglers and human traffickers? That is the question.
No, they would love to. They'd love to more. They want to go to the UN and discuss and have their discussions over their tea and make their speeches in their fancy rooms. But they don't want to go to the border, where it's dirty, where it's where the conditions are rough, where there's people on top of people on top of people in the United States of America. And while, yes, every president has had to deal with increases of those trying to cross the border illegally, the policies, Annie, of this president have directly led to this current crisis. I don't care that they don't want to use the term crisis. Jen Psaki doesn't like using any words that mean anything. When it gets to the bottom line, is that they are spending more time on issues like Green New Deals, putting more Americans out of work. They don't care about these people at the border. They're political pawns. to these issues, and that's it. I mean, to me, their disrespect for human life has always been put on display, and I always thought that President Obama was a good example of this. He runs as this far left liberal. You think he's going to, you know, stop wars? Yet more wars started.
Well, you're absolutely correct on that. I mean, the Democratic Party is sinking to aggrandize power. That's what this is all about, to bring in a powerful machine. In this case, they have a manipulated person in Joe Biden. He is not capable of making a decision himself. He has people around him pushing him to the left, pushing him to the left. He ran as a moderate. He said the new Green New Deal was not something he embraced, and he did. But what I want to know is this. The way you confront a problem is you go and you look at it and you see it. Kamala Harris has been tasked with the responsibility, they said, of being the border czar. She's going to take care of all the problems at the border. And yet, every time she's asked about going down there, she gives a stupid laugh and ignores it and will not go down and look instead. Joe Biden will not go down to the border and look. And as the caller we just took said, if this was a daycare center in any state in the United States, in any city in the United States, it would be shut down by the Department of Children's Services instantly as being inhumane and improper. And yet we permit it to persist on the borders of the United States, notwithstanding the statements by the Border Patrol, we can't take and tolerate this anymore. That sheriff who said, I have four deputies, I've got laws, local laws to enforce. Instead, they're operating to help the Border Patrol because we're not giving the Border Patrol the resources that they need to have, and the cartels are running the border. These are deplorable situations, but you elected a Democrat, you got him, you didn't want Trump. You didn't want the wall. You didn't want anything like that. That was going to keep out people. Instead, you've got cartels running your border. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when we get back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to let you know, too, we're finalizing a Freedom of Information Act request as we speak to the Department of Homeland Security about what is happening at the border, the policy changes, why has this surge continued, what the facilities that are being built, how are they dealing with this, the policy changes that are being made? Why has Mayorkas not responded to the request from President Biden? He's already over time. He was supposed to come up with an analysis of what to do to secure the border. Should they cancel the contracts? Because right now we're still paying the contractors to build the wall, but Joe Biden's not letting them build the wall, not letting them finish building the wall. That's the situation we are in right now in the United States of America. There's a crisis at our border. There's still the pandemic. We haven't been able to open up our own country yet, but yet we got teachers in San Diego leaving their Zoom classes to go teach in-person migrant children who are testing positive for COVID at rapid rates. They got no problem with that in the teachers union. They do have a problem with trying to actually fully reopen. They won't even fully reopen the San Diego schools. It's going to go on a hybrid basis, mid-April. You know, they've held off, I guess, as long as possible, their raises, their vaccines, and this and that, and how much distancing before they actually allow kids back in school in America. So how about, you know, again, putting American kids first? But remember, they hate the America first. They think that, you know, that's a bad policy, a bad idea. See what happens so quickly to America. So quickly, things start falling apart when they should be improving as we come out of the pandemic. We'll be right back. Second half hour. Thank you for supporting our matching challenge. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Just to kind of reset this for you, there's been a just increased surge at the border of migrants. They're streaming through gaps. Wall that is not that, you know, Biden halted the wall construction, but we're still paying the contractors to build that wall. So they have not yet canceled the contracts. Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, has not yet come back with his analysis yet about what to do with the wall. But, you know, they're not going to be building any more wall. They don't even they're still in a situation where they just want to reattach some existing wall. And that was pre-Trump. And they're not letting them attach the wall that already existed to the current wall. So there's another gap. We've got video. Let's roll it again while I'm talking to people. We got video of now of a 3-year-old girl and 5-year-old girl, their sisters, being tossed over a 14-foot tall border fence by the so-called coyotes. They call them human smugglers in the news. I think they are human traffickers. They're not just smugglers. They run away. And these kids are sitting there. I mean, it's emotional to see, but it's disgusting to see that done to children. It's child abuse. Thankfully, that was caught on camera. What's not being caught on camera? You know, that's the question you have to ask. How many kids are dying out in the desert? How many kids are dying on their way with these smugglers? Because if they'll make it all the way to the wall, and that's how they're finishing out their smuggling, is by tossing a 3- and 5-year-old 14 feet below, then how many 3- and 5-year-olds did they just let die on the way? Think about that. And where are those 3- and 5-year-olds going? Into sex trafficking? We don't know. They'll have some card on them with some address that they'll try to verify is somehow related to them. And how will we actually know that? This is the problem. You have unaccompanied young minors. They want you to think about the 16 and 17-year-old males. Well, those aren't. Those are 3- and 5-year-old sisters. It's disgusting. It's Joe Biden's fault. It's Joe Biden is responsible. The buck stops with him. He likes to say that kind of things. He's the president. He tries to put this on Vice President Harris. She hasn't even showed up at the border. She doesn't even know what she's supposed to be doing. They want open borders. They're getting it right now because that's basically what our border is like. I want to take one of the phone calls, Julian in Iowa, on line one. Hey, Julie.
Hey, Jordan. I actually have a quick comment and then a question. But being a grandmother and a mother and a grandmother, I know for a fact, no matter what, I wouldn't give anybody my 3- and my 5-year-old. So how do we know that these coyotes are not just kidnapping children to throw over the wall?
We don't. We absolutely don't. The best case scenario is their parents paid them or someone in their family paid them to get to some family in the United States. That is the best case if it was a Disney movie scenario. Okay? That's how it ends. But we don't. And it's likely not going to end like that. So as hopefully those children get sent back to wherever their parents are. And they make it back to their mom and dad or some family members. But that's the problem with all of this is, I mean, I only got a minute left. We'll talk about that. But that is the key problem is what is happening to these children? You know, they wanted to push this off and say, well, they're not really kids. They're 16, 17-year-old males. Well, that's one problem on its own because what are you going to do with all of them? They're nearly adults. But then here's the other problem. 3- and 5-year-olds by themselves in the middle of the desert. This is what Democrats bring you to your country. This is what liberalism brings. This is what it means when you have no border, when the working relationships are gone, when you have a president who can barely get words out and who has to delegate these major responsibilities. We're not even getting our own country reopened yet, but yet, you know, 3- and 5-year-olds being tossed over 14-foot tall fences dropping down. Nope, no crisis. Nothing to see here, folks. Just make sure you wear 3 masks. Before you go to the grocery store, even after you've had your vaccine. 3-4 masks, maybe. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I just want to remind people too, if you've listened to this broadcast, you know, but if you're a new listener, we have for years called for comprehensive immigration reform to deal with the people who are here, who have been here for decades illegally, to get them out of the shadows and figure out whether or not they should be on a pathway to permanent residency, some to citizenship, these DACA programs. And Republicans have been willing to go to the table. You know who's not willing to go to the table? Democrats, liberals, the far left too. And what is their excuse? Well, you don't want to legalize enough people. You don't want to open it up, you know, give enough. Now they're saying we need reparations for migrants. I mean, this is the absurdity. So you'll never get to actually helping anybody. No one will ever be helped. You'll just, because it just wants to hang out there as a partisan issue. It's the worst of the worst of politics on display. We got a lot of phone calls on this, so I want to get two of them. But I just wanted to remind you, we're not a group that's opposed to immigration reform. We're a group that supported it over and over again. President Trump had it on the table. It was Democrats who scuffled it, said, no, we're not going to go there. And they filibustered it. That would have put about, I think, 11 million people who were here illegally, but had been, spent the majority of their life here as children, who came here as children, did nothing on their own wrong. Their parents may have broken the law, but they're minors when they got here, lived their whole life here, but didn't have Social Security numbers, were here illegally. A lot of them, you know, didn't even speak the language, you know, necessarily speak Spanish or wherever they came from, and they were going to be put on pathways. And who stopped? Who stood in the way? Democrats, because it wasn't enough. It's never enough. So there's no compromise on the issue. And what they want to do is something no one will, they don't actually put forward an actual plan. It's just, oh, your plan's not good enough. Your plan won't do enough. Let's go back to the phone. Stacy in North Carolina on line four. Hey, Stacy.
Yes, hi. I would like to ask, how can we hold this administration accountable? Can we, you know, they're not spending down the armed forces down there, but they spend it all their time, like you said, 17. And trying to filibuster to make passage progressive policy.
Yeah, they say the American people, now get forward all the election controversy. Joe Biden's the president. He's setting the policy, and Vice President Harris there. Okay, like it or not, that's the truth. So they're in office. You're not going to hold him legally accountable for bad policies. Policies that don't work are not illegal. It's what Americans, you know, they didn't like Donald Trump's harsh language on immigration And on the wall, well, this is what you get in exchange. Three-year-olds being tossed over. Five-year-olds being tossed over. Probably to a life of a horrendous life, by the way. Hopefully not. I pray not, because the Border Patrol was able to go save those kids. But then what happens to them next? You just have to hope and pray that whoever you give them custody to is the right people. It isn't drug traffickers and sex traffickers and human smugglers. That their life, you know, as tough as it might have been where they came from, they don't deserve that life. No one deserves that life. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I think this is an interesting call, too. Bill in Montana on line 5. Hey, Bill, welcome to Seculo.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is, what has happened to Mexico in this? They had a strong alliance with the Trump administration to stop this surge at the border, and it was working, and now it seems to have disappeared.
Well, I think because you had a change in administration policies, Harry. I mean, so the president there, President Obrador, doesn't have the same incentives to deal with the Biden administration that way, to work together.
Yes, and the president of Mexico has accurately labeled President Biden as the migrant president. So he recognizes that President Biden is prepared and has reversed policies that were working. And so the president of Mexico is saying, well, then why am I going to expend resources and my prestige and reputation in order to protect a president of the United States who does not believe in Trump's policies? And so when we see toddlers tossed over a wall, a 14-foot wall, that represents the apex of what? Progressive policies that harm disadvantaged individuals throughout the world, from South Africa to the United States to Mexico to Latin America. When progressives are in charge, the disenfranchised people throughout the world suffer, and then progressives use the suffering that they have caused to call forth greater government control, control of the lives of average working men and women, for instance, in the United States. And it's a very perverse system, a very perverse approach to life.
So, I mean, when we think about this, I think, Andy, this is what lawlessness, when your policy is lawlessness, when your policy is catch the illegal actor and then release them immediately, it's lawlessness.
It is lawlessness, Jordan. That's exactly what it is. We had catch and return. We don't have that anymore. Now we have catch and release into the United States and release them into any parts of the United States that you want to put them into. What do you expect is going to happen but lawlessness? These are innocent in many ways, like these 3 and 5 year olds from Ecuador that were thrown over the wall. They're children. They have they're innocence. They have no knowledge of right and wrong or evil or righteousness at this stake in their life. They're just trying to survive and to grow up. But you take them and you're going to put them in some part of the country that I know is going to manipulate them and use them and exploit them in some fashion. It's inevitable. They don't have parents. They're going to have to be put in places that are not good for them ultimately, and that breeds lawlessness. I've seen this happen in my years as a prosecutor. These kids don't stand a chance. We got to admit that. They don't stand a chance.
No. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to George in Maryland, line 3. Hey, George.
Yes, good afternoon, Jordan, and everyone there. I really appreciate ACLJ and everything that you do and the information you share, and I try to support it as often as possible. I find myself getting so frustrated and flustered about this and other topics. My blood is boiling. It's like, what do we do? We know the Democrats don't fracture. They stand together. And since they control the House, the Senate, and the White House, we point out all these issues. But what do we do?
What do? We fight every step of the way. We inform everybody we can. And there's elections in less than 2 years. And while that won't be for president, you could certainly change the makeup of the House and the Senate, which are right on the margins, which will make it very difficult for President Biden and Vice President Harris to continue with these policies if there is a change in the House and the Senate. Don't forget that. You cannot give up fighting for your country. These are bad moments. We lived through 8 years of bad policies that were just like this. It was called the Obama-Biden years. We're now living in the Biden months, the first months of Biden. And he's doing the same thing, even at a more extreme pace, by the way, I would say. And there's good people out there that want to help. I mean, Joanne in New York on line one. Let's take Joanne's call. Welcome to Secular, Joanne.
Hi, I'm Joanne from New York. And my question is, how can us Christian parents maybe take in a child or two? I have ample amount of room in my house.
They're not going to let you is the problem. So, I mean, you know, to get to that point of this, they'd already have to go through and figure out, do they have any family here? Do they have any relatives here whatsoever? Is there anybody there? What should they be sit there? Of course, you want them first united with parents. If there's a mother or father here, you would want them united. But are those really the mother and father? Do you have to do they're talking about doing genetic testing. So, unfortunately, people who have, and you know, Joanne, that first reaction of, I would take some of these kids in, you know, the people who do foster programs, you know, already, who know how to do this and are prepared to do it, they have no way of helping. So it's the federal government's responsibility to manage this, to get it under control, and then to make sure it doesn't continue to get worse and continue at this pace. There will always be people who try to cross the border illegally. Always. But it should not be at this level. It should be much more difficult to do so. And the ramifications for those who are the coyotes and smugglers, we need to work with our partners like Mexico and these other countries and make sure there are serious criminal punishments for human traffickers. That's what they are. Children traffickers. Think about that. Think about that as we go into the next break. Trafficking children is what they are doing. And their own countries need to be putting them in jail. Serious consequences. So it's no longer just about, you know, getting paid the $5,000 of money from these families. So hopefully their kids may survive a trip up to the U.S. border and then get thrown over. Where it could have all ended right there if those kids fell in the wrong way. So again, we'll take your phone calls. Final segment coming up, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Take your phone calls right away now, and I wanted to get to the Georgia issue with voting. If we don't have time today, of course it's Good Friday tomorrow and Easter over the weekend. We will get to it next week, but I do want to get to your phone calls. People are fired up about this, as they should be. Joseph in New York on line 6. Hey, Joseph, welcome to Seculo.
How you doing? I just want to thank you guys for doing everything you do. My question is, at what point, or is there a point where this becomes such an issue of national security that the military could possibly step in and circumvent the administration to try and get the control of the situation?
The military responds to the commander-in-chief. The commander-in-chief is Joe Biden. I mean, so Andy, this is up to Joe Biden. Joe Biden deserves all the blame. He has all the responsibility.
Totally. You're right, Jordan. Absolutely correct. The military cannot act unless the commander-in-chief determines that they need to act. The military is under the command of President Biden. He makes the decision whether to deploy the troops to the border. He doesn't think it's a crisis. He thinks it's circumstances and things are happening. He won't even go down there. He was asked, do you have plans to go down there? No, sir, I don't at this time. Why not? Why don't you want to see what's going on? So as commander-in-chief, you can make a determination of whether or not the military ought to be there. But the answer is the military cannot act. It's subject to a commander-in-chief who won't act.
Let's go back to the phones. Richard in California on line 4. Hey, Richard.
Hey, I just want to say God blessings to all at ACLJ.
Thank you.
And I love you guys. My question is, where's the other party at? I haven't heard anything from them. Not very much, anyway. Where's Superman at, I'm kind of confused because it seems like nobody's saying anything from the Republicans.
Well, I mean, first of all, it was the Republicans who exposed all this, so I'm not sure you're right there, Richard. Remember, we wouldn't have the video we have without Republican senators who went down to the border and said, we don't care what you're saying, Biden administration, we're federal, elected officials also. And so they've been down at the border exposing this. Now, legislation-wise, they have no chance of getting in through. I mean, they're the minority party. In the House, the Senate, and of course they don't have the White House. So what they could do is similar to kind of what we're doing, which is expose what's happening, talk about the bad policies, hope that this administration at least cares about the children, for goodness sakes, and then a second fight in the next election cycle. Because, Harry, that's the problem, is all they can do really right now is to expose the bad policies. And I think they've done a pretty good, we're talking about it. People are showing the imagery. They're doing that on NBC as well because of what Republican senators have been saying. And now even Democrat members of Congress are starting to join those calls and say what's happening is horrendous.
I think your analysis is precisely correct. 18 Republican senators have actually gone to the border. They've spent time on the border, and they have filmed the crisis, the surge, whatever we wish to call it. And so they've exposed as well the policy reversals by the Trump administration, the policy reversals of the Trump administration by the Biden administration. And it is precisely those reversals that have caused this crisis. And the Republicans have done an excellent job of sharing that analysis with the American people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're doing the best they can, being in the minority in both House, Senate, and, of course, not having the White House either. Remember, we didn't hear these kind of stories. It was not this kind of extreme. When there was a surge at the border under the Trump administration, it was quickly handled. But it was used politically, all the kids in cages that were built by Barack Obama, the warmonger, and are now being rebuilt by Joe Biden. Who, by the way, I can't wait to figure out which next international conflict he will get us involved in. But this is one that affects our own country, and they don't even go. They won't even call it a crisis. It's okay to have a crisis and then to deal with it. I mean, in fact, that would show more leadership. But, of course, they don't even want to use that language because that would have to admit that, they caused it. Their bad policies right out of the gate caused this crisis. Renee in Wyoming on line 2. Hey, Renee.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to comment that I think this is the thing that's going to bring us together. I think it's going to be conservatives who are concerned about this. I think liberals are concerned about this because I'm a mother of four, and I'm very passionate about this. When I heard about the border being open, but the worst part about the human traffickers, the coyotes, and how they're taking these children, we have no idea where they're going. So I think this is going to unite our country. But I've been doing a little research, and I found out that the amount of money that is given for human trafficking equals about $1 per child. That is horrible. We throw more money away, our government, other things that we waste, and we can't even give more than $1 per child for these that are getting human trafficking.
Well, it is, again, they don't want to acknowledge any of these problems. So I guarantee you what they'll say about this video of the 3 and 5-year-olds, oh, that's rare. That's not something you see often. What's rare is it was actually caught by one of the cameras, so you can actually see it. You can't deny anymore how bad it is. That's not a 16 and a 17-year-old boy hopping a fence. That's a 3 and 5-year-old sisters being thrown over one with a 14-foot drop into the middle of a desert, thankfully picked up by our Border Patrol because it was on camera before someone or something got to them first or the elements. So that is just the seriousness of the situation. And you know, I want to take one more call. Dottie in Texas on line one. Hey, Dottie, welcome to Seculope.
Oh, thank you very much. I heard another gentleman ask, and so maybe this is redundant, but I just don't understand when we're sovereign states why we cannot, the governor, and I've called the governor, and I've called the AG of Texas, why we cannot call the National Guard. This is abominable. We, as citizens of the United States, should be treated better to be able to treat these children.
Let me tell you, your governor, your attorney general in Texas, they would like to be able to do that. Unfortunately, currently, the current Supreme Court precedent prohibits them from doing that. Now, if the federal government was to ask them to do it, they could. But they can't do it unilaterally. And, Harry, that is one of the biggest issues here, is that because under the Obama administration, they fought hard to not allow states to play any role when it comes to the border or even what comes to illegal immigrants once they're inside the United States, inside their states.
Absolutely. So the Biden administration, I get confused at times, is missing in action with respect to the border crisis. But under Obama, they have successfully disarmed state governments from taking action. And so we are left with a crisis. Virtually every rational American recognizes that there's a crisis, but governors, particularly in red states, their hands are tied by the federal government and Biden's fecklessness.
Yeah, I mean, so that again, folks, that's where we are. Now listen, tomorrow is Good Friday. This weekend is Easter. It's a time to celebrate for many of us who are of the Christian faith. And regardless if your churches are open and virtual, I want to remind you about that. And pray for those. Pray for these kids this Good Friday and this Easter and today. Because the crisis that they won't call a crisis is a serious humanitarian one. Thank you for everybody who donated the month of March, our matching challenge. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.